Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning in. This is the final week of Listener Request Month 3. I feel like we should have had some sort of cool, like, sequel name. Like Listener Request Month 3, The Reckoning.
Or The Return of the
Or The Badge of Silence.
Oh, man. So, before we get to today's topic, the call for this week was from a woman named Erin in the Bronx, and she had this to say.
Hi, this is Erin. I'm from the Bronx, if you wanted stats. Getting in my listener request and under the wire because I really want to hear someone other than me and my girlfriends talk about Maniac Cop 3, Badge of Silence. We're obsessed with it. You've referred to Maniac Cop, but I'm talking about number 3, where Maniac Cop is slowly working his way through a hospital, getting revenge, sort of, not really. The flashback sequence showing how Maniac Cop died is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. I highly recommend it to anyone who's ever wondered whether a zombie can drive while on fire. So please watch it. I love it. Please enjoy.
So, all right, Erin, for you and your girlfriends, Maniac Cop 3, Badge of Silence, from 1993, directed by William Lustig.
Who has directed 4 movies with the word maniac in them.
That's right.
3 of them being this series.
This trilogy, and then, of course, there's the seminal Maniac film, which has nothing to do with Maniac Cop. By the way, check out the remake with Elijah Wood from IFC.
Yeah, it's not so bad, yeah.
Good movie. Not a good movie, Maniac Cop 3, Badge of Silence. Let's try to stay on track here as much as possible. This is the 3rd installment, obviously, in the Maniac Cop franchise. And, Eric, I believe you did a full rewatch of this series.
Yes, I watched 1, 2, and 3 in preparation for the culmination of Listener Request Month.
That's some dedication. I've seen all of these movies. I watched the first 2 ages ago.
Yeah, I saw the first one a while ago, and I was like, oh, Bruce Campbell's in it. I'll do that. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Sold on Groovy Bruce.
And yeah, he's in the first 2.
He's in the second one, too, and yeah, I stayed around for that one, too. And Robert Davi was in the second one as well, and he comes back for this one.
Beautiful passing of the torch between him and Campbell as protagonists.
Handsome Bruce Campbell and stewed prune Robert Davi.
Yeah, he's a guy who's been angry since the womb, huh?
Well, you know, because he's like the grizzled detective, and, you know, Bruce Campbell's the idealistic patrolman with.
But I mean, he looks grizzled, I suppose, but like he also looks like he's supposed to be like snapping his fingers every once in a while.
Yeah, like, he looks like he could be like a Bing Crosby, like bum 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 bum, hey baby baby, Maniac Cop, bum 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 bum.
But he's just Italian.
Well, he did direct that movie where it was that very thing. It was him, Chaz Palminteri, and Peter Bogdanovich as like lounge singers. Called the Dukes, I believe.
Oh, my God.
Count me out.
Sign me up. That Peter Bogdanovich, man.
He's great.
He's a wild man. So this movie starts with a little bit of a scroll.
There's a preamble.
And I was like, wait, John Larroquette's going to say something. Wait, come on.
I wish.
Why would he say something?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
oh,
man.
Okay, right.
I was like, come on, do it. Do it. Because it's like all like... Matt Cordell was a cop and he was a good cop. Then somebody framed him, blah, 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 and he became
Maniac Cop. Well, to be clear, he went to prison, right? Am I getting this right? Officer Matt Cordell went to prison because he didn't play by the rules.
He was a goddamn hero cop. That's what he was.
Yeah, that's what he was.
He put a lot of men behind bars, and then he got too close to those in power down by City Hall.
Oh, man.
And then guess what? You're taking the fall now because you weren't going to turn. I'm guessing this is about bribery at the end of the day or kickbacks or something.
It's always about kickbacks.
Yeah, I guess so. They set him up. They send him... I guess to Rikers.
Yeah. He goes to the tombs.
And they slash his face apart in a shower.
Yeah, that's what happens. And then we get this thing in this... There's a flashback
in this
movie. He dies.
And then he becomes a maniac.
And then there's a flashback in this movie where he runs through a prison brick wall.
Yeah, well, at some point he became Jason Voorhees in the afterlife. That's what this... Essentially, that's what these movies are. He's Jason Voorhees dressed up as a police officer.
Which is pretty great.
It is pretty great. It's like Jason with some authority.
Yeah. And I mean, we're talking about Maniac Cop and Matt Cordell here, but really he's an afterthought in this movie.
And this is what I wanted to bring up. Continuing our tradition of doing horror sequels, franchises that are absent of the franchise figure. You know, we did Halloween 3 and Michael Myers is nowhere to be found. We did Friday the 13th 5, A New Beginning, where it's some dude playing Jason. This movie is very much Maniac Cop without Maniac Cop. I mean, he's around, but he's not really around.
I mean, he's doing the killing, which, don't get me wrong, I'm, you know...
That's what we're all here
you're
for.
You're giving me what I want.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. But, like, as far as him coming back and what his motives are as a supernatural killing machine...
Right.
It doesn't really matter. He's just killing people that the audience doesn't like.
Well, because his killing had purpose before in the other movies. Because in the first one, he's trying to get back at the police force for what happened to him. And then the second one, he gets back at the prisoners who cut up his face. And in this one, it's just for some reason.
Well, he's a hired gun.
Well, he's resurrected by in a voodoo mass.
Right. So let's get into it. After the scroll, which you're totally right, Chris. If you have a scroll in your movie, someone better be saying something. Because I'm just watching. It might as well be an FBI warning.
What about Star Wars?
Well, there's not. That's the thing. Somebody should be saying something. You're right, Star Wars. Somebody should be saying something like a James Earl Jones or a John Larroquette, or there's a triumphant John Williams score. Not silence as this fucking thing rolls by.
Maniac Cop to be scored by John Williams.
Oh, what an epic Maniac Cop entry that would be.
He spat on that offer.
What are you fucking talking about? John Williams doesn't know that there's a movie called Maniac Cop 3. Yes.
No idea that there was ever any other movies besides Spielberg.
On just another word on these scrolls is that if you're going to like talk about like the world is dying and like or a country is on the brink or something like that, then you want your James Earl Jones.
Oh, I was going to say, are you talking about Maniac Cop? Because I missed that fucking
message. That's the difference between the John Larroquette scroll and the James Earl Jones scroll.
Okay, I see what you're
like,
saying.
Like, personal misery and cutting up of people's.
That's Larroquette's
That's his wheelhouse.
How much do you think he got paid for? I think, there's some rumor John Larroquette got paid in weed for that movie?
I have no idea.
Which is so fucking great. I love that.
I'd believe it, though.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Wasn't much.
it wasn't a lot of weed, and it was kind of some of that skunk weed.
It was all shake.
Yeah. It was mostly seeds and sticks.
Oh, wow, I came all the way down to this Texas recording studio for some seeds. Thanks a lot, Toby.
I'm supposed to roll this? Really? You want me to roll a seed?
So, yeah, all right, so let's get into it. This is very much the Weekend at Bernie's 2 of the Maniac Cop franchise. And this movie came out a year or two before Weekend at Bernie's 2. But basically, right, we start after the silence scroll, we start in...
Oh, maybe that was the badge of silence. The scroll.
Oh, that's what it is, because it's literally nowhere else in this movie.
Because it makes no sense.
It makes absolutely no damn sense. So we start off, it's kind of finally Matt Cordell's funeral, and we're cutting between that.
Which I think is actually recycled shots from the end of the second movie.
Does he jump out of the... Well, no, in this movie where he jumps out of the grave...
Oh, there was
the second one starts with the end footage from the first one.
They're all recycled because I believe in the end of the second one, there's a shot of the coffin with his hand coming out like... It's good. There'll probably be a sequel. Like to set up sequels.
You're not going to believe this.
And all these movies, you know, second and third, right, do so many flashbacks that are just recycled footage from the other films.
Which is the laziest way to make a fucking horror sequel. I'm looking at you, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
Oh, yeah, big time. But, like, and keep in mind, these running times are only, like, 80 minutes or so.
Yeah, they're really just grasping at straws for a story here.
It's just padding.
And also, but keep in mind, this is also a Jason issue. Why are you burying the zombie. Why aren't you burning the body of the maniac cop zombie?
Right.
Why are you bare? I understand
because he was a good Christian man.
A cop, he's a hero cop. I get it. But still, he also went on a huge rampage and killed a bunch of people after resurrecting twice.
Yeah, but he's human and he deserves a
No,
human,
he's not human. He's dead.
He deserves a burial.
He shouldn't be buried on American soil, goddammit.
You should flip that critter out to sea like they did to Osama bin Laden.
I will be good and goddamned if he ain't sent back to Russia and buried in that dirty, cold Russian soil.
Look, just put him in a huge Doritos bag, go out to Canadian waters, and throw him overboard. Then I'm happy.
Just like I did to my first wife.
Man, I would attend Maniac Cop's funeral if that's how he was being buried in a giant Dorito bag. I'd be like, well,
no.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
No, because he's going to come back. And he's going to want to get to the bottom of that bag.
It's going to be like that shitty the shitty remake of Godzilla where the Godzilla's going underwater.
Oh, Jesus.
Slowly to New York.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I will just say this for our listeners out there. Summer blockbuster 2013. That's all I'll say. So this voodoo guy, nobody's seen him before. He's not in the other movies. And he just, as we learn, kind of just likes resurrecting people. It makes not a lick of sense.
We haven't seen this guy before. He's just standing there. He's just making these weird... He's stabbing a head.
There's a head of some sort of vagrant that is not the maniac cop head, which I thought it was at first. But this dude's conducting this spell, and we're cross-cutting back and forth between the dude doing this seance or whatever, this spell casting, and the funeral. And so we put it together. Okay, for whatever reason, this dude's resurrecting maniac cop. Like, all right, here we go. And he says this big, long spell, jams a knife in this other person's skull, and maniac cop's eyeballs open up. He bursts the hand out. And this is the footage from the end of the second movie. The hand bursts out and he grabs the badge.
Yes, and then that's it. And then that's all they show. But now they filmed an extended more shots for that scene of him actually now ascending from the grave.
Yeah, right. It takes fucking 10 minutes of him like cutting back between these two things and then them just strolling the streets.
Well, it takes a while to cast a spell.
There is a lot of maniac cop just walking around in broad fucking daylight.
There's
in this
one
movie.
Shot of him just standing in the middle of the cemetery, just standing
well,
there
he's
for
a cop.
No reason.
He can do whatever he wants.
But he clearly has the face of a monster.
He's New York's finest.
Get it through your head.
Look, if you see a gigantic, like, Jason-sized mutated pig man... You're going to do something about it. You're not going to look and be like, look at that monster. Oh, you know what? He's behind the blue line. Look at that uniform.
His face is actually getting to that Jason Voorhees undead phase.
It's
really.
The same thing. They ripped that hockey mask off in part 7. He looks like a reptilian.
Looks like it's about to harden.
It's so shitty. I mean...
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That's worse than Maniac Cop's.
It is.
Maniac Cop's been slashed up, and then he's been burned, and then he's been dead.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's got a look to it.
His face looks like the fucking ginger dead man, though. Whatever that movie was with Gary Busey.
Is that the gingerbread man?
I thought it was the ginger dead man.
There's a horror movie called The Ginger Dead Man, but there's also The Gingerbread Man with Kenneth Branagh and Gary Oldman.
No, 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 film critic.
What?
The shitty horror movie where Gary Busey's soul...
Oh, Gary Busey. I thought it said Gary Oldman.
I thought Busey's soul went into a cookie. A gingerbread cookie man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, but he looks like a dead man's face?
No, it's a shitty fucking puppet.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, because he's got to move around and he's got a bunch of catchphrases. It's just like that Jack Frost or Child's Play.
Right, so it's a brown crumply face instead of a gray crumply face.
Yes, exactly. That's the point I'm making.
And the difference between him and Jason is that with Maniac Cop, at least I can tell where the eyes and the mouth are.
Yeah.
Where Jason, it could be anywhere. The eyeball could be in the back of the head.
This voodoo ritual that's going on is also another opportunity for them to just stroll through all that footage from the other movies because he's like... Oh, Maniac Cop, you were pretty good at being a Maniac Cop.
You did this, and you did this.
All your achievements, Maniac Cop. And it's just all the murders, all the getting set on fire. He gets set on fire in every movie. He's just torched. I think the people behind this movie, Larry Cohen, all these guys, I think they had stock in like a fire suit company.
Well,
because they're getting use out of the fire suits in all these movies, especially this one. And we'll get to why a little later.
It looks surprisingly good, I'll add.
It does look good, but why do you need this many fire suit scenes? How many times are you going to burn this fucker?
But also, what's his name? Is it Robert Zarr?
Yeah, Robert
Zdar, Zdar, yeah, the guy who plays Maniac Cop.
Maniac Cop, the actor. Like, in the first one, he didn't look too bad. Like, he kind of looked weird, but he didn't look too bad, like, as far as just, like, his eyeballs. But, like, this is where he's in, like, this is about the same time as Tango and Cash, where he's just got that face.
Oh, God, yeah. I forgot he's in that.
He is in that
I was going to say, the first one is the worst because you can mostly see his face.
Yeah. But he got, like, the bajillion drugs face.
Oh, is that what that face is?
And this.
Right.
I think he naturally has a really giant face.
Oh, he does. It's pretty big, no matter what.
Things might have added to it over the course of time.
Sure.
Right. You know, you get a little older. You've just been reprising this Maniac Cop role over the years, you know.
Yeah, we all get puffier.
Yeah, it's the sands of time. So we're introduced to Robert Davi in this movie. He's back from the second one. He's at a firing range, and this is where we're, you know, we meet his, like, younger female cop buddy. I guess there's kind of, like, a father-daughter thing going on here.
He refers to her as, like, a younger sister type.
That's right, yeah.
And, like, this is, this is the movie.
Yes, this is the plot of this movie. So, right, so basically, this Kate Sullivan is a cop, and she goes on a call. And it's Jackie Earle Haley robbing a pharmacy. And basically there's like a shootout. And we'll get into it now. So it's basically like,
well,
go ahead.
Jackie Earle Haley's robbing this pharmacy. And initially two cops do come to try to stop him. And he just guns them down like instantly.
Yeah, he's got a shotgun.
And he gets into the back room where all the drugs are happening. And then he starts happening those drugs.
It's like a real fucking, like, Ponderosa all-you-can-eat buffet with these drugs.
Yeah, he's popping who knows what.
But, I mean, like, he's
morphine?
Mixing the macaroni and cheese with the chicken wings and the green beans.
Oh, he's got zips.
With the Jell-O. He's, like, he's taking everything this place has to offer.
He's John Belushi at a buffet.
I would like it if don't know much about
history.
While he's shooting up in the middle of this pharmacy.
He's just shooting morphine into his neck and that song.
That's
playing.
So true. He doesn't know much about biology or history. Look, he's a degenerate.
Yeah,
he doesn't
know much about biology, about how his heart's about to explode.
He's just looking. He's like, oh, look, zips, reds, blues, caps, pops, uppers, downers, low blows. Like, he's going through all these things. And then, yeah, the fucking pièce de résistance of his drug binge is a big old morphine injection into his neck.
And then he slurps Jell-O off a plate.
And then, anyway, so Kate Sullivan is now your goddamn hero cop's coming down to save this problem.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And she can't, he's behind bulletproof glass. Like, they have a brief shootout. He gets behind into the way back of the pharmacy.
Which I haven't, you know, I've been to a lot of pharmacies in my day. Never seen one that's behind bulletproof glass. But I guess if it's in, like,
New York.
I mean, I've been to bad liquor stores where there's bulletproof glass everywhere. Or a liquor store in a bad neighborhood, I should clarify. That's some weird shit. You're like, hey, can I get this $7 bottle of whiskey? And someone has to rotate it around a bulletproof turnstile.
Yeah, I mean, if they have those for, like, because they have those in, like, bodegas, too.
Right.
So if you're doing that to protect some, I don't know, like, Parliament Slims... It makes sense that you would also do it for the morphine and the Adderall and whatever the fuck else
That's
is back
true.
There.
So she's trying to get down now from the roof into this bulletproof box. And this is a great moment because she just walks on the skylight and she falls through the glass. It looks like it's a complete accident, which is interesting.
I don't know if she's ready for what she's about to do or what, but she just falls through this thing. Kind of lands on Jackie Earle Haley, but not really. And, you know, there's a big standoff. He grabs a hostage who's working there, and there's a big thing. She kills Jack, or shoots Jack Irahilly, excuse me, shoots him. He goes down, and she's like talking to the hostage, like, it's cool, you know, I'm here now, you're safe, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you shot him. And it's like, whoa, twist, man. She's in it with Jackie Earl Haley. And so she draws the gun. And this chick, Kate, turns around and blows this chick's brains out.
After getting shot herself by
this chick.
She
also gets shot. So then what we also have going on in the scene is we're introduced to two hilarious tabloid journalists who just, I guess this is a thing. Freelance video journalists that just drive around with a video camera listening to a police scanner and they like wait for the big cases to pop up, the ones that the networks pay like juicy money for.
But this is more of like this this is journalism. Well, this is what it fucking is. It's just a bunch of people who hate people.
Yeah, these guys have no regard for humanity. It's like whatever makes the best
now,
fucking story.
Folks at home, we're not kidding here, because in this scene, one of these journalists actually pray for misfortune to befall people so that they could get a better scoop.
Everything is better, like if there's a kid in danger, like all that shit.
And actually, Robert Davi very classily pushed them off his crime scene, telling them there was good action somewhere else. And that crime scene was the body of that head, that voodoo head that was being tinkered on, and it's got a smiley face painted into the ground where the head should be.
I think that's a gag, like on the police department's part.
Oh, it's not like a voodoo, right?
No. Well, what he realizes is the voodoo part of it. Well, he doesn't realize anything because he's Robert Davi and he's a terrible detective in this movie. But there's feathers and like chicken bones and shit
well,
in the neck.
There's
stuff.
Chicken feet.
Feet. You're right.
I think they might have shoved the whole chicken in this guy.
Just head first, shoving a chicken down his neck.
Yeah, there's that shot of Robert Davi just like playing with the chicken finger.
Yeah, you know, we are in a world where a maniac cop comes back from the dead. Conceivably, you could shove a chicken down someone's decapitated throat
or husk.
Body crevasse.
Neck hole? Yeah, I think neck hole.
Neck hole
is what you want to call it.
Oh, right, because people say they shit down neck holes.
Yes. I'll shit down your neck.
Yeah, that's a common one.
I guess it's just a neck.
Yeah.
I guess you just open up a neck.
Yeah.
All right, we got to the bottom of that one.
We're better detectives than Robert Davi is, by the way. So, yeah, he's at the crime scene of this homeless guy. And the voodoo guy is sitting right there playing dumb. And he's like, hey, did you see what went down here? And this guy starts spouting off all this crazy guy shit. He's like, oh, I see all. I see beyond what you see. I see into the heavens and all this shit. And Robert Davi's like, all right, well, this guy can't possibly be a suspect because he's crazy. And kind of just leaves the crime scene.
I think was it the guy?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
He's playing it real cool. That's what he's so cocky.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no one's ever going to suspect this crazy homeless guy.
What is Robert Davi doing?
Being the world's worst detective in this movie. He's fucking heinous at this job.
He's got this shitty hat, and like he always has shitty hats in these in movies. I've always noticed this about Robert Davi, is that he has these shitty-ass hats just to make himself what he thinks is cool.
Maybe directors think he would look better like that.
I think it's an acting decision.
Robert, we want you to put this hat on. I won't do it. I want to put this hat on.
Well, as long as you cover it up.
So he gets the call that Kate's been shot, and he goes to the hospital. And get ready to spend some time in this hospital, by the way, because it's kind of most of this movie. It's sort of like Halloween 2. It's sort of like Visiting Hours. We're just horror movie in a hospital once again, because this hasn't been done to death.
It's really boring.
Yeah, it certainly is.
You know what? Say what you will about it. It's convenient for the victims.
It's true.
Or it's convenient for Maniac Cop, because there's just all these sitting ducks around.
Well, but honestly, if you ever want to assault me, maybe threaten my life, potentially kill me, do it in a hospital.
I guess. I mean, yeah, you're right. Convenience. I like that.
Yeah.
So Maniac Cop, meanwhile, you know, again, just strolling around in public. By the way, this movie, this is a good point to bring this up, because there is a scene where Maniac Cop walks across what is clearly the LA River, okay? LA River, famous from Grease, Terminator 2, a million other movies. He's walking under, you know, the overpass through the LA River. This movie is supposed to take place in New York City. I know the first one definitely is filmed on location in New York. I'm not sure about the second one, but I think so. This third one, they make no effort to say that this is New York City or to show that this is New York City. They say it's New York City up and down the fucking board. But this is just Los Angeles.
But like every scene takes place at night, so who cares?
Exactly. But if that's the case, there's even one shot. There's like an exterior. It's supposed to be like the Manhattan skyline. All you have to do, this is 1993, everybody. All you have to do is show me an exterior that has the World Trade Center in it. Yep. That's all you have to do. Okay, everybody, we're in New York. That's the end of that. Right. Every episode of fucking Sports Night, soundstage in California somewhere. Oh, what's that? Opening credits, World Trade Center, boom, we're in New York City. Yeah. Friends, same thing. They make no effort to get any kind of B-roll from New York City. How lazy is that shit?
How about recycle the establishing shots from the first movie? Because you've done it with everything else.
No. We only recycle the gore. Yeah. Everything else we got to whip up from scratch.
Borrow it from somebody else. Buy somebody else's B-roll.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be stuff you buy. People sell B-roll all the time. That's why it's B-roll. Just fucking go out there and get it.
So this is where this movie
is frustrating. I'm sorry.
Take out the trash while you're doing it.
And this is where this movie now hears the twist.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
they're in the hospital, and all the television radios are on, and it turns out that Jackie Earle Haley, after doing all these fucking drugs...
Killing
two police officers, getting shot three times in the chest... He survived A.
Yeah.
And is B now suing the department because of what?
Because of, I believe it's some sort of excessive force thing. She's also using, like a semi-automatic weapon that is not police issue whatsoever.
That's I think, the bigger thing.
It's a great scene with a kind of favorite character actor of mine, Grand L. Bush. He's been in a million things, including the first two Lethal Weapons.
Oh, yeah.
The first Die Hard and Demolition Man.
Well, he's with Robert Davi in Die Hard.
Yes, that's right. Oh, that's so weird.
The two FBI agents.
The FBI agent in Die Hard, yes. So Grand L. Bush in this movie meets Robert Davi for some Chinese food, and he's sort of like... in the upper brass of the police department, and he's just like telling him how this chick's just fucked, you know, and he's like, you know, she had this gun, it's not standard issue. Well, and there's a great line where he's like, you know, she knows that, you know that, scumbag knows that. It's fucking great. It just refers to Jackie Earle Haley as scumbag. It's so fantastic.
At this point, the news has played the footage of the scumbag journalists have taken.
Yeah, these other scumbags.
They've like edited it to show, right. Or like didn't get the good vantage point, and it looks like that she's just gunning down the hostage in cold blood for who cares.
Yeah, it's clearly edited, and I think it's Ted Raimi as the newscaster.
The news reporter. Yeah, but you're right, Eric. So that's the thing, is these news camera guys, these news crew dudes, they do make mention of editing the footage to make it look a little more sensational, you know, get those dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah, you got to.
You really got to keep working that fucking money, man.
You really got to.
But so that's why she's kind of, her career's going up in smoke now, because everybody thinks she just gunned down this innocent chick and Jackie Earle Haley without being provoked.
Ted Raimi has my favorite line in this, in that he refers to the incident as a black rainbow of terror.
That's right. Way too drum. What are you, fucking Fox News?
Well, those do, you know, New York City, those will pop up every once in a while.
Black rainbows of terror.
Yes.
I'm standing outside LaRue's Pharmacy at 125th Street in Lexington during an event which can only be described as a black rainbow of terror.
I guess Matt Cordell, the maniac cop, is maybe drawn to her because she was a hero cop that's being set up the sent yes. up the river just like he was.
Yes, you're exactly right. So while after Maniac Cop hilariously walks across the LA River, he makes his way to the church where the voodoo guy is hanging out. And the voodoo guy's like, "You're probably wondering why I called you here, Maniac Cop. Truth is, I don't really know because this is a shitty movie." And so
like your guess is good as mine.
Yeah. Like he explains to Maniac Cop, like, "I can't bring just anybody back from the dead. Your soul has to be willing to become a zombie. Keep that in mind for later." And so he, like, Maniac Cop's got this baton where, like, he can pull the handle off and there's a knife there. Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, you want to kill me, Maniac Cop? That's cool. But I bet you want to hang around and see what cool killing missions I can put you on." So then the radio is on and this story comes over the radio about what happened to her. So Maniac Cop gets pissed off and he set out to... And this is Maniac Cop's mission in this movie, to get revenge on all the people that he believes helped set up this police officer. Because, yeah, it's just he is having some crazy PTSD flashbacks right now. This is exactly what happened to him. He tried to fight on the side for good, and he got fucked over by the establishment.
It's like if Jason Voorhees saw some other kid be left to drown and was just like, "Hey, come on!"
But it's not like he even, like, it's like he feels who's involved. Like, he's, like, communicating with some other side.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he's been to the other side.
I suppose so.
Well, you're right, though, because there's no way Maniac Cop can know the people involved in this case.
God, the devil's helping him.
It's probably the devil. You're probably right.
It's usually him. And there's also this really weird and, like, highly sexualized, like, it's like a General Hospital thing. Like they're all like the one of the surgeons who's working on Kate.
Yes.
Starts up a kind of a thing with Robert Davi, or is it Davi or Davi?
I always said Davi.
I don't know what it is. Whatever.
You guys keep saying it your way, I'll say it my way, and maybe he'll write us a letter.
One of us will be ignorant at the end of the day.
Well, probably three of us.
Yeah. And but there's also this, he's my favorite character in the movie. There's this other doctor.
Oh, this guy's the biggest douchebag.
And he's like trying to hit on everybody. Robert Davi comes up to him and is like, "So how's Kate doing? She's done. She's out of here." And then he says this.
"Stick her in a rock garden."
Stick her in a rock garden. Are you serious? How about some bedside manner? You're a fucking physician.
It makes no sense. He would have been fired immediately.
I couldn't believe this. Out of all the ridiculous things that I've already seen in this movie, this was the most shocking. I was like, I can't believe a doctor's acting like this.
And you know rock gardens aren't zoned to store corpses.
No.
That needs to be in a proper grave, 6 feet deep.
I mean, a body is like how many rocks? Like at least 24.
Oh, that's how Captain Kirk was buried. That's actually a pretty good death.
Well, you know, rock garden, he means cemetery, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, because...
You never heard someone call a cemetery a rock garden or a rock farm?
Not in my life.
Really? No, yeah, that's what he's talking... He's saying, put her in the ground.
Does he... Wait, rocks grow out of cemeteries?
Yes.
And that's what tombstones are?
Yeah, you didn't know that? That's how
it's going to blossom into a boulder?
I planted a bunch of tombstone seeds this week.
But that is the expression, rock garden, cemetery. He's saying, just cut the cord and bury her because she's brain dead.
Well, you know what? It sounded so weird to me when I heard it. I was just like, a rock garden? I
can't believe you never heard that turn of phrase before.
Well, you just mean a pile of pebbles?
I thought it was like a garden in Japan or maybe New Mexico.
I would like to see someone else finally be buried like Captain Kirk or Curly in fucking City Slickers. They just pile a bunch of rocks on Jack Palance and
both,
that's the only remember that.
Both are American heroes.
You're absolutely
never
right.
Forget.
The woman who's been shot, this Kate character who's in this coma, we see like a flashback, or no, it's a dream sequence that she has.
Oh my God.
This is just out of nowhere. Like, this character's in a coma. She's not a character in this movie. Why do we have to see her dreams? But it's basically like she walks in And something like out of the I Will Do Anything for Love music video. All this like shitty blue lighting and like white curtains are flapping everywhere.
Kind of November rain
type thing. It's November rain situation. And she's like walking down this aisle and there's only cops in this church. And you're like, all right, that's weird. And she gets to the altar and she's about to marry maniac cop.
It's a ghost wedding. It's amazing. It's so ridiculous. She looks all pale and weird, and there's maniac cop there at the altar.
Why is her soul being tethered to maniac cop in this ghost dream, though?
Well, also because, and we'll get to this later, she is bride of maniac cop.
She is bride of maniac cop to a degree, although it ain't so successful.
Well, no.
As we'll learn.
It's also, but, it's not consensual, really. It's just an arranged marriage by the devil, I guess.
And also, somebody at some point says she has the nickname of Maniac Kate.
Yes, because, and that's what's weird, too, is they're like, oh, this cop's hard on crime.
Much like that lunatic maniac cop we all remember.
She's not taking kickbacks and eating hot dogs all day like me.
Yeah, that, so that's, she's a maniac. Yeah. She likes to arrest people for a living.
What a crazy person.
But that's something, like, I need to see. Like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to, like, make somebody who's, like, a really, like, a tough-ass cop, like, well, other than the pharmacy scene, like,
that's them trying to show you that, I guess.
But I mean, even that, she's just kind of other than the gun, she's just kind of doing what a good cop would do. Maniac Kate, I need to see some like some kind of questionable shits going on.
No. That's because that's the thing is, it's so corrupt that, you know, doing bad things is, oh, that's just a normal cop. Hey, it's Joey, and then being a good cop is just like, get out of here, you nut.
So this is a nickname that's given to her by other corrupt cops.
Yeah, because the whole force is tainted.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that actually makes sense.
Yeah, I could get down on that.
So what's great is, so Maniac Cop gets to this hospital, and he's standing outside just looking up at this thing like, all right, I'm about to take on this whole hospital. And I don't know if he's like a homeless guy or what this dude's deal is.
I think like, he's just like an asshole on the street. You know?
He's just an asshole. And he comes up to Maniac Cop like from behind, and he's like, hey, I hear this is the hospital where they're keeping that maniac Kate. If you ask me, she finally got what she deserved. All these pigs around here, blah, blah, blah.
And he goes on to say, like, oh, ain't the Wild West, you bunch of funny cowboys.
So, hilariously, this is the best death in this movie. Maniac Cop picks this dude up by one hand and chucks him and then draws his firearm and fucking blows this dude away in midair.
Yeah, he plays skeet with a person.
Yeah,
it's
like,
incredible.
It's like the Old West. You throw a can up and you shoot it.
This is my problem with the premise of what Maniac Cop is, though. Like, Maniac Cop's got a couple of different killing methods here and there, but his favorite method of killing is his trusty revolver. Now, I get this is supposed to be New York City. Like, this franchise is New York City from, like, the late 80s into the early 90s. And, yeah, it was kind of a bad town, whatever. You can't tell me that outside a hospital, this dude can let off like six rounds into this guy's chest and no one's coming outside to take a look at what's going on.
Somebody's poking their head out the window.
And someone is going to look out and be like, I just heard six shots rattle off into the night. What is going on outside?
Well, you know, down in old New York, people just didn't care too much. You remember that old fable at the start of The Watchmen? By Alan Moore, about that girl that gets murdered and no one cares.
Yeah, that's like this Maniac Kate.
It's all the same.
Well, this isn't like New York City with like fucking Bill the Butcher's walking around. We have laws.
No,
someone's gonna give a shit.
Robert Davey, maybe, but he wasn't around.
So the first instance of in hospital murdering is great. It's this dickhead surgeon again, and we meet back up with this dude. He's like going down on a nurse in the doctor's break room.
Oh, he's looking for the man in the boat.
Yeah, well, he's found it and took sail.
And then Maniac Cop just interrupts him worst cock block. Just bangs on the door.
Yeah, maniac cop would have made a terrible college roommate.
The like, worst wingman.
It's really stupid, too. Like, they cut to this woman, and, like, her head's cocked back, and she's in ecstasy. And then, like, there's the pounding on the door, and she ignores it. And then, like, this dude just stands up, and you're like, oh, that's what's going on? Thanks, Maniac Cop 3, Badge of Silence. So the dude puts, like, all his clothes on, like, what the fuck's going on around here? And he just opens this door, and this is pretty awesome. Maniac Cop's got the defibrillator paddles, and he's just hitting him with it.
He's paneling him to death.
And it's so great because he's dragging the cart behind him. Or, like, the box he's trying to carry. Like, listen, killing someone with defibrillator paddles is not a really great way to kill someone. Can you see him dragging this thing around? He's chasing the guy down the hallway.
It's impractical. And then also, they go up to the roof, and he's still dragging that machinery.
Exactly. He's carrying this box with him.
And the guy ends up on, like, this, like, metal grate, and he, like, you know, Maniac Cop, like, electrocutes the grate and to finally finish him.
Yes, and the dude... He goes off the roof, yes?
No, he panels him to the face.
Oh, like I guess he falls forward and then...
He gets hurt really bad.
Let's just say he gets hurt really bad.
Then they just panel him to the face. He's like, his brain electrocutes.
So this other doctor, the doctor that Robert Davi's like got a crush on, why is she walking around in the hospital basement? I don't remember how she gets to this point, but she runs into a fella that looks exactly like Bob Marley, which is hilarious.
Well, she sees Maniac Cop finishing off Meyerson, the pervert doc.
Shitty doctor, yeah.
And she's like, she goes to follow him, and then, yeah, just a... This Maniac Bob Marley look like is just down there.
I think he's supposed to be like a janitor or something.
Yes, he is supposed to be a janitor. He's actually been in a lot of movies.
Oh, really?
And the only one I can think of right now is Only the Strong.
What's that?
It's a movie about kids doing Brazilian capoeira in Miami.
Nice.
It's a stay tuned.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's perfect. Okay. Yeah. Fodder. Excellent. So she runs into this dude, and this guy like knows her by name. Like he's just like, oh, Dr. Fowler, what are you doing down here? I'm like, this janitor doesn't know this doctor's name. And, you know, she's like, oh, I was just following somebody. And he's like, these tunnels, all these pipes around here, it's pretty dangerous. Get out of here. But Maniac Cop knows where he's going. And somehow, and this is clearly never explained, this basement of this hospital somehow leads, the tunnels go around, and he's kind of in the sewer at some point, and he gets back to the church as his, like, home base. It's actually, this is a lot like Die Hard 2. Maniac Cop set up in this abandoned church not too far away from the hospital or airport where he's supposed to be raining all this terror. Interesting.
It's also a lot like the Ninja Turtles.
Man, I would love to see Ninja Turtles having to go up against Maniac Cop. They don't understand that, like, a cop is capable of being bad, so they're having trouble fighting him. They just can't bring themselves to do it.
It's the same era of New York, too.
It is.
These characters want some pizza? Snaps their neck.
Man, I know it would be a tragedy for every child on Earth, but if you just saw a Ninja Turtle get fucking murdered, like a Maniac Cop, just a swift neck break.
He ganks Donatello through the head.
And then Shredder could be like, finally, thanks to Maniac Cop, I can have my turtle soup. You've done well, Maniac Cop. Now go have a cigarette with Bebop and Rocksteady.
The bus to Dimension X leaves in 45 minutes.
You're going to want to... No. If you're getting off at the first stop in Dimension X, you're going to want to be in the front of the Technodrome for where the doors open. They will not open in the back.
Maniac Cop's just like sending pieces of Leonardo to Splinter.
What a tragic end for the Turtles. Michael Bay, if you're listening... So out of nowhere, Paul Gleason and Robert Forster just waltz into this movie.
For what?
Because Maniac Cop has to have people to kill, and I guess William Lustig was like, hey, character actors I've known from the 70s and 80s, come be in this shitty sequel of mine.
But I feel like you're backloading your movie. Like, Robert Davi beats out Robert Forrester and fucking Paul Gleason?
No way. Well, no way.
Maybe in 1993.
Maybe. I don't know, man. Because, like, what? Well, I guess because he had just been. Isn't this right when he does the Bond villain?
Who?
Robert Davi.
Oh, which one is that? License to Kill? No. I'll have to check in with the internet on that. But I guess the only reason why is because Robert Davi's got he's grandfathered in from that second movie.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Robert Forster and Paul Gleason aren't in the other movies.
Yeah.
But, License to Kill, by the way, is 89, so he'd been in that already.
But also, there's a great line where... So after Myerson, the pervert doctor, gets killed, Robert Davi and the doctor, the female doctor, are upstairs and they're talking, and she's like, how do you get through it? Like, when you have a bad day, like, I don't know how to deal with this. How do you get through it? And he says the way he gets through it is with a pint of ice cream and whipped cream.
Robert Davi, what are you, a Kathy cartoon?
I just love, I would
love. You got the best metabolism in the world.
I would just love that scene, like a Lethal Weapon-esque scene where he comes home, turns on the blues music, he like lights a cigarette, throws his jacket down, and then like you think he's going for the, you know, vodka, and he just got Ben and Jerry's, he starts spooning it out.
It's the least hard-edged thing a detective can do ever. So Paul Gleason is... Robert Forster is some sort of hospital administrator.
Yeah.
Is that correct? And yeah. Paul Gleason's like the insurance guy.
It's very confusing. They have some sway over... Well, Robert Forster has sway over whether or not Kate is going to be taken off life support.
Right, whether or not they pull the plug. And Paul Gleason is like... trying to be like, hey, so you're probably going to pull the plug on her, right? I think he's like the hospital administrator that's worried about like how much money it's costing the hospital to keep Kate alive, essentially.
Well, I think Paul Gleason also might be from like the New York State government, because he's like, this city's going to like, you know, go crazy over this, you know, the cops... taking liberties and whatever.
Right.
I thought he was from Dimension X.
It's possible.
Hi, Paul Gleason, Dimension X.
See what's going on over here.
There's some bullshit thing where he's like Robert Forster's like, oh, yeah, we'll pull the plug. Don't worry about it. But say, I've got some family coming to town, and they're pretty big New York Knickerbocker fans. And Paul Gleason's just like, oh, yeah, no problem. How's this sound? Center court, front row, right next to Pat Riley. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Are you serious right now?
The catch is, it's actually another Dimensions Knicks game.
So it's not your early 90s semi-dynasty Knicks.
No, it's the Dimension X Knicks. So yeah. one of the guys is a squid.
Pat Riley's just a parakeet.
It's the monsters from Space Jam. Yes. Are the New York Knicks in this Dimension X.
It's the best.
So Robert Forster gets x-rayed to death, by the way, which is fantastic.
It's like, I thought he was just going to let it stay there for a while and give him a tumor eventually. Cause like,
well, that might happen, right?
It's like a microwave. It microwaves his face.
He somehow...
He could get better.
What?
He could get better, maybe.
I guess so. I mean, his face is clearly melted off, though. He's going to be Maniac Hospital Administrator.
God.
That's a boring movie.
Man, he kills that paperwork.
It's just a dude stabbing a file cabinet to death.
Signing a bunch of forms.
Guy banging on his desk for 5 hours straight.
Yeah, so Robert Forster encounters Maniac Cop at one point. Maniac Cop like gets him down on this table and straps him in and just turns on this x-ray machine. And he's found later on by a nurse or something. And his face is just gone. It's all like bubbly. It kind of looks like when that dude in Ghost of the Machine gets stuck in his microwave kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, with all like his boils on his face and whatnot. Like that happened to Robert Forster. Like he's clearly dead.
Oh yeah, he's out for the count. And now the reporters that we saw in the beginning, they're called out to some they have like one of those police scanners.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And they hear about some big accident that happened in some side street somewhere.
And the sweet spot is a kid was involved. Oh, and these dudes get huge fucking hard-ons and race to their car to get their camera equipment.
And then they're driving there jerking each other off.
Oh, man, it's going to be so great. We get this footage of this dead kid.
You
ready? Oh, shit.
I'm ready. You straighten your tie. You straighten your tie.
You're going to drive off the fucking road. Oh!
They get to this place, and there's just this kid sitting there. Like, you would think there would be a mob scene. A kid has been killed. The cops and ambulance are already there,
right,
according to this thing. There's nobody there but this one kid. And he's
right,
sitting on this stoop, and he's just like, oh, yeah, my sister died. It's over there.
Go around this dark corner. That's where the carnage is.
It's like in Goodfellas where Robert De Niro's like, no, go in there.
Yeah,
to Lorraine Bracco. No!
All the good coach. Just keep going. Just keep going.
No, it's in there. It's in there. No, don't go away.
Just that hand gesture. Yeah. That is a great scene.
Oh, man. It's so terrifying. Terrifying.
That's weird.
So they round the corner, and there's this ambulance with all these dead ambulance attendants inside. I think the girl's dead, too.
There's no girl.
There's no victim.
There's the two ambulance drivers, the second reporter, because only one had interviewed the kid.
Oh, that's right, because the dude says, like, you know, I have my camera. I'll talk to this kid. You go check around the corner.
Yeah.
So the dude, like, interviews this kid, like, you know, what happened, and he lays out this pretty lame story. And then, yeah, this other dude goes around the corner with the camera, and they're all dead, and Maniac Cop kills that guy.
So what? Maniac Cop, who cannot talk other than a grunt or, like, one word a movie, we said?
He gets a sentence a movie, I believe is what it is.
Right, and I think it's 3 to 4 words tops.
It's not an eloquent sentence.
No, no, no. Very blunt.
He laid out a dense plan to kill these four people.
Why is he... Two questions. Why is he enlisting the help of a child? And why is this kid cool with it?
Did he enlist the help of this child? Like, well...
He had to. The
kid
was
killed. The people and the kid's just like afraid, and he's just like, "Sir, stay there, guy, stay there."
But he explains to him what happened, and it's a huge lie. He's like, "My sister was over there; she's dead," and all this stuff.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like he lays out this whole story,
he had
and it's just a bunch of phony baloney.
Maniac Cop thought this through.
Why does he have to be like a criminal mastermind now? Just fucking kill people.
He's a Jason, like, and I get it. If you just want to make like a Jason ripoff, I'm not really going to get in your way because, hey, what works, works.
But the key difference between Maniac Cop movies and Jason movies, I guess not technically this Maniac Cop movie necessarily, but like Maniac Cop is patrolling the streets and he's out like in a city. So you've got all these people at all sorts of different places that Maniac Cop's like getting at folks. Whereas Jason, it's like, oh, you know, we're at the campgrounds. Oh,
right.
You know, we're
like
on a boat.
Country Mass and City Mass.
Yeah.
Very, very much so.
But so one, Maniac Cop is walking all over the place killing all these people, which they should have just put him in the hospital. The hospital, fine. He can go hog wild. It's in one central location. You don't have anything to worry about. This movie, he's killing people he can have no possible idea are involved in this whole thing. Maniac Cop has no idea who those cameramen are, yet somehow he knows not only how to bait them to come to a crime scene, but he knows that there's such sleazeball journalists that if he makes up a story about a kid getting killed, they will come there.
Or maybe he wanted to kill more cops and thought the radio thing would bring more cops, not necessarily these journalists. But
still, this is a distinctly thought-through plan. And the man has no brain activity.
It kind of makes no sense. But, you know, maybe his friend the devil was helping again.
Also something that doesn't make sense.
The devil.
Is in this hospital where there have been 2 or 3 clear murders.
Oh, absolute hands down murders.
The thing is running normal.
There's
no shutdown. There's
a
nothing.
Security guard to be found. No security guards. They certainly don't call the police. What are we doing?
It's a regular shift.
I don't understand how you can make this many mistakes in a movie. If it's the third movie of something you've made with this character. all the mistakes with the character being, what, he's psychic now? Is it because of the voodoo resurrection? He's in tune with, like, some other frequency?
I guess that's what we're supposed to assume, but they certainly don't give you any help to figure that out.
No, none whatsoever. You're left out in the cold.
You see three scenes with this voodoo doctor, and that's it. And none of them are like, you now have the power of...
And most people by now would have probably changed the channel. And director William Lustig actually did so in real life. He walked off the set making this movie, and someone else had to finish it.
Man, oh man. What is it like when you are working on a movie and the director says, the hell with this, and jumps ship? Like, you as Robert Zidar, you know... I mean, this is your movie, so you're not going anywhere.
No. I think it's like, and it's something that must be so satisfying, is you get to get up from the director's chair, take the headset, and just throw it on the ground. It breaks into 100 pieces.
I've had enough! But I'm talking more from the perspective of, like, the actors, the crew. Can you imagine if you're, like, a nothing PA, a Maniac Cop 3, you're fucking fresh out of UCLA film school or some bullshit, and you're like, ah, sweet gig on Maniac Cop 3, being a PA, this is great. And William Lustig just says, hey, kid, hold these headphones for a second. And you're like, well, whatever you say, Mr. Lustig. And the second you take the headphones from him, he goes, psych! You're directing this piece of shit now, and just walks off the set.
I think that's what happened. I really do. And
I'd never heard of this other director either. I've heard of William Lustig. You're getting some director's sloppy seconds on this shitty horror movie.
And folks, this happens more than you think.
Oh yeah, people right. walk off shit all the time, or like Alan Smythe themselves. Like, if you're a part of a movie where the director doesn't want credit, that's embarrassing. I'm looking at you, Jamie Lee Curtis, in what's that movie of hers? Virus? Is she in Virus?
She's in Virus.
She is in Virus.
I think that's an Alan Smythe production.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Yeah.
Hey, even David...
It's pretty garbage, so...
Well, even David Lynch has one under his belt, so everyone... Yeah. Everyone
did he
gets
Alan Smythe Dune?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Did he?
I'm not sure.
That's a question for another day.
So Maniac Cop also... In this reign of terror, you know, at some point in this movie, he decides maybe he's getting a little tired of being Maniac Cop. Because he walks into Jackie Earle Haley's room and just leaves a gun on Jackie Earle's, like, pillow.
He uncuffs him.
Yeah. And he's just like, do what you're going to do. This guy, Maniac Cop, may I remind you, is tied to trying to take down this police officer. Why are you letting him run this reign of terror in this hospital?
I mean, he's taking, it works in his favor. Surprise. This move really does work out. But there was no chance it could work out. His idea was to let him loose and that somehow he was going to kill Paul Gleason.
Yes.
He was going to kill another lawyer that was involved in the case.
It's Jackie Earle Haley's defense attorney. Because she's talking to Paul Gleason about, like, okay, so if Jackie Earle Haley, you know, takes this plea, we drop the suit, we need to discuss the terms of him getting, like, the rights to this, to his story for a film adaptation or a TV show and all this shit. And they're walking down the hallway and Paul Gleason's like, yeah, no, I'm fine with all of that. By the way, how about sucking my dick later? And you're like, wait, what? You're trying to make a move on this woman? And she's totally into it. And then out of nowhere, they get blown to shit. And you're like, wow, way to go, Maniac. Oh, Jackie Earle Haley. And it's him and a couple of other, like, tied, like locked down prisoner criminal hospital patients. They're like, yeah, we got this gang going now. They shoot this fucking security guard. It's ridiculous. This security guard, by the way, here's your security guard. He's sitting on a chair just watching the monitors. What are you doing? How did you miss all the crazy shit that there's a maniac cop in your hospital? Sal the security guard.
There's a maniac cop. There's a cop that's on, like, watch duty. There's enough time to formulate a ragtag gang uprising.
Yeah, he has two criminals with him going through this place, and they're caught in a corner, and they think Maniac Cop has got them, But then it turns out to be Robert Davi.
Oh, that is so stupid. Oh, man.
It's asinine.
It is asinine.
Genuinely asinine.
They kill the security guard. They kill Paul Gleason and this defense attorney woman. And then they turn and they're like, what's that? And you cut to a stretcher rolling down the hallway with like a body on it. And there's a sheet over it. And you're like, yeah, oh, here comes Maniac Cop. Whatever. He's a participant in the paranormal. You know, fine. He got this thing rolling on his own somehow. And all of a sudden, gunfire starts erupting out of the blanket, and they fucking shoot the shit out of the one dude. There's three guys. There's Jackie Earl Haley, Jackie Earl Haley's roommate, and then a third guy they somehow found and also convinced to go on this murdering
spree. The Grissom gang.
Yeah. They kill this third guy, and then Robert Davi like sits up, and he's just like firing this weapon. Like, what? How did you lay? What is the what? Explain to me this movie. What are the logistics of him laying down on this stretcher, covering himself in a sheet? Where is he getting the momentum to roll down the hallway?
The only thing that makes sense is if John Woo was the director who took over for William Lustig. Yeah, that's the only kind of person who would allow this kind of crazy, stupid stunt to happen.
It would have worked if some doves were released at the same time.
A dove flies out from the sheet.
This could have been a cut from Hard Boiled. In that huge hospital scene, this could have happened.
It definitely could have. I think this is probably where Robert Davi was just like, hey there, female doctor. You want to see some cool police work? Now just give me a push.
And then hide in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So there's a big shootout. He kills the fat roommate of Jackie Earl's. And then Jackie Earl's like still on the run. Tracks him down to this bathroom. And he's doing the old hide in the stall. And, like, Robert Davi kicks the door open, and there's this old lady on the toilet. And he's like, oh, geez, sorry about that. And then it turns out Jackie Earl Haley was somehow hiding behind this one. How do you hide behind someone who's sitting on a toilet?
He broke in, made her stand up, and then sit on him. He is literally, it's like literally she is taking a piss on his lap. And she's so much bigger than him, too.
I don't understand it. So he's also murdered at this point. Robert Davi shoots the shit out of Jackie Earl, and that's the end of it.
And that sounds chaotic and crazy. But wait on, folks, because guess who's in this movie? Maniac Cop.
Oh, hey, I remember him.
Welcome back to the program, Maniac Cop.
While this is all happening, Maniac Cop has kidnapped Maniac Kate and is bringing her down to whatever tunnel system leads to this the voodoo altar.
Everybody with us so far? I mean, really? So, you're right. And actually, I just kind of realized that, oh man, again, Maniac Cop is way smarter than he has any right to be in this movie. Because that whole thing we just talked about, I'm just now realizing, is an orchestrated distraction set up by Maniac Cop so he can kidnap Maniac Kate, bride of Maniac Cop.
Maniac Cop should have been part of Ocean's 11.
Yeah, I would have loved that.
I'd love to see Maniac Cop and that little Chinese gymnast just stuck in a box together. And like this dude like doesn't speak any English and he's like, hi. And then like Maniac Cop's like, shut up. Or some shit. They're bickering in a box like the Boondock Saints.
He has to convince Maniac Cop to let him jump off his shoulders in order to get to the air vent to help them both.
In that movie, they refer to somebody as like, oh, we need an Ella Fitzgerald. And they're like, oh, yeah, we need a Voorhees.
Look, every good casino heist needs a Voorhees, okay? Elliot Gould's like, well, I think I know a guy.
Know a guy that knows a guy that knows a giant voodoo doctor. Undead mass.
Hello, Matt. It's Ira. Want to come back from the dead and rob a casino owned by Al Pacino? I'll take that as a yes. It's the shittiest fucking Elliot Gould impression this side of the equator.
Oh, say the long goodbye to that impression. It won't be returning.
Beautiful.
Oh, man. Classic Robert Altman pun. So he kidnaps this woman, and the whole thing is Here we go again. We're going to have Bride of Maniac Cop.
He sets her on fire.
Now, to be fair to Maniac Cop, it's kind of an accident.
it's an accidental...
This criminal mastermind has orchestrated all this shit, and then he fucking sets his bride on fire.
Well, he does it in a unique way.
Sure.
Now, he's trying to get the voodoo priest, witch doctor guy to perform this ritual on Maniac Kate, bring her back, I guess, out of a coma into some type of Maniac Cop dead zone that he's existing in.
I feel like what they say here, because she's on life support in the hospital.
And they unplugged her.
So essentially, Maniac Cop takes her away, and this time he decides not to carry a bunch of electronic equipment around with him, unlike those paddles earlier.
He should have done that. Just kept her heart rate going the whole way to this altar.
Well, it's hard to navigate those dark tunnels when you're carrying so much luggage, I guess. But remember before we said this voodoo priest, clearly spells out to Maniac Cop, like, hey, man. Just so you know, I can't bring anybody back from the dead. You know, they have to want it. Their soul can't reject it. And Maniac Kate is such a good cop that she's like, no, I'm not going to be a part of your charade, Matt, you idiot. You know, I'm not going to come back from the dead and help you kill people.
So, yeah, so basically the priest does say that, like, oh, I can't, he says just that. And
yeah, them's Maniac, the breaks, Maniac Cop.
And this is when Maniac Cop gets his main line, and he yells at him,
finish it.
And then the guy's like, hey, I can't. And then, or like, I did, it doesn't work. And then Maniac Cop just shoots this guy in the back with a shotgun. He falls over. I guess somehow the buckshot ignites something on Maniac Kate.
I think there's candles all over the
place.
Maybe
oil, too, for like their, seance.
Sensual massages. Yeah. Sensual voodoo massages.
Corpse massage. So this dude goes up. Maniac Kate goes, like, this poor woman, we haven't seen her conscious since the first 15 minutes of the movie. Now she's just this crispy critter. And then this is where Robert Davi comes in. And by the way, I marked it, right? Because you would figure this whole thing, like in this movie, is Robert Davi being like, oh man, all this smells pretty familiar, but there's
smells
none
like
of that.
Human flesh.
It's not until an hour and 8 minutes into this movie does Robert Davi learn that Maniac Cop is on the loose again.
A.K.A. 15 minutes until the movie ends.
Like, how on earth do you write a screenplay like this where everybody is just dicking around? The character from your previous movie who brought down this villain doesn't know that there's another movie happening.
It's insane. And if you look at the first two movies, the NYPD is all too well aware that there's Maniac Cop out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's becoming kind of like a public legend sort of thing. Like, people on the street are like, here, pray tell of the Maniac Cop who patrols the streets.
It's like a Son of Sam thing where...
Yeah, everybody's... The public is paranoid, all of that
everybody's
stuff.
Everybody's staying inside.
There's a great scene in that first movie where a regular good cop just gets shot in the head because of the legend of Maniac Cop.
It must be the Maniac Cop.
Right. People are just killing cops.
Well, there's that great part in that first movie where Bruce Campbell's suspected of being the Maniac Cop because he's stepping out on his wife. Yes. So his wife is just like, oh, my husband goes out at night for hours at a time and comes back changed. He must be the Maniac Cop. Oh, no, he's just fucking somebody? Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, it's good. She follows him out there, and you actually see in that movie, he walks to, like, 12th Avenue. He walks, like, just a few blocks away to this motel that he's also sleeping with some female cop. Man,
but also,
and that's a movie.
I almost feel like it's a Deadly Friends situation.
Uh-huh.
Where William Lustig was like, you know what, I'm going to make, I've been making these like, gaudy slasher movies, these kind of gritty, really gross movies. I'm going to make like a Sidney Lumet, like copper movie, like a cop corruption, like a Prince of the City type movie.
Right. Yeah. Something that really says something.
Yeah. Something that says something. and he turns it into, whoever. And they're like, you're known for horror. Throw a horror in there? How about some of that Maniac Cop? You want to throw some Maniac Cop in there?
Sprinkle some Maniac Cop on this movie.
Because if you were to take out the scenes of Maniac Cop doing shit, you would still kind of have a movie about this guy worrying about his little sister in the hospital.
I would like to posit that a more accurate title for this movie should be Maniac Cop All for Nothing. Is what it should be. I mean, we get to this point and it's like, oh, well, the resurrection didn't work. Oh, they're both on fire. Oh, and by the way, somehow Maniac Cop gets set on fire at this point, because it wouldn't be a Maniac Cop movie without him on fire.
Well, because, oh, I'm a monster and I love her. And he picks up her body and he's carrying this flaming corpse. So now he's a flaming corpse, too.
And he gets in this police car and just drives off hilariously on fire. There is a chase scene in this movie now. We jump ahead a little bit here where, like, Robert Davi and this nurse, like, think, you know, oh, that's it. Thank God that's over with. And they're, like, in the ambulance. And,
by the way, what does she see in him?
That's the best interruption that's ever happened on this show.
And a genuinely good question.
It's a damn fine question.
And it's like, maybe, also, even if you were into him, which you're not, why not have a date after he gets off of his crazy police caper?
Yeah, like they're making out in the hospital at one point
they're
earlier.
They're getting pretty hot and heavy.
Like another cop comes in and he's like, oh, sorry, Robert Davi. And he's like, you gotta be kidding me right now.
I was about to go find the man in the boat.
There's a lot of cock blocks in this movie. A lot of cock blocks for a horror movie.
And honestly, that's also how this voodoo ceremony doesn't work, because Maniac Cop wants Lady Maniac Cop.
Can't have it, so he's just going to set everybody on fire. So they're in this ambulance, they're driving down the street, and it's like, oh, wow, what a day. Hey, what's that? And they look out the window, and there is Maniac Cop ablaze, driving this cop car, chasing after them. It is ridiculous.
I mean, it almost makes it worth it because it's just a guy on fire in this car.
It's some serious stunt work. You know, nowadays that would be CG.
Yeah, oh, that
it
would
totally
be
would
CG.
Be. It would be inauthentic. Now this is a
this
great,
is a real yeah, maniac yeah. cop
this
on
is a great,
fire.
Great chase scene, and then Robert Davi takes out his gun and shoots Maniac Cop in the head like 50 times. Like he empties this entire clip on him, reloads. And then empties another entire clip on him.
Mm-hmm. And it does nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Not a dent. He's just firing blanks.
Here's a question relating to all that is happening right now. So this man, this big hulk of a man, is on fire driving a car in a good, like, you know, 5 to 6 minute long chase scene. How is this car not instantly catching on fire and exploding? How does he get this far without the car like melting?
Yeah, you know, movie law dictates that fire in a car equals a massive explosion.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's just driving down the street, taking all these turns. Like, it's a real
sick car. He's
putting
his blinker on.
He's parallel parking whilst on fire.
Robert, it's a little early for the electric car, so let's not play that game.
No, there is some gasoline. And I mean, even an electric car, there's oil in there somewhere, probably. Some sort of flammable material.
Robert Davi finally cracks this case because he takes he takes this oxygen tank from the back of the ambulance and hucks it into Maniac Cop's squad car. And it doesn't do anything for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. It takes so long for the fucking fire to get to it.
It's probably more realistic.
I mean, that's true.
It's a very realistic film.
Well, I thought they were going to rip off Jaws, and he was going to have like, you know, some line about like, oh, one bullet, shoot it.
I totally thought that, too. I thought they were going to jam it in his mouth.
Yeah, I thought he was going to unhinge his jaw.
Dude, if Maniac Cop's just chowing down on this O2 tank.
And then he blows up and he roars, like some crazy echoey roar.
It's like when that Rottweiler and Man's Best Friend eats the cat and it unhinges his jaw to fit the cat in.
I mean, we've seen a man take a whole chicken.
Yeah.
Right before this chase scene ends, before the car blows up, well, because that's the end of the movie, by the way. Maniac Cop blows up.
Well, quickly, I want to mention that during this the chase sequence, there are scenes in which Maniac Cop has other cars on the road getting too close to his squad car, where he takes his hand out and shoves them with his, he just shoves a car with his hand, and guess what? It works.
Oh yeah, he's throwing cars off the road like fucking Donkey Kong.
Try it, man. That will never work. I don't care how abnormal and spiritual and otherworldly you are.
Well, the only time they really show his, well, the using the human as skeet is pretty. That shows it, but like he also rips a car door off its hinges.
Yeah, that's how he steals the police car that he drives around, and he rips the fucking door off, like
I
Fred Flintstone.
Was Maniac Cop, not RoboCop. You got a vampire cop?
Zombie cop.
Oh, that'd be great.
Secret Nazi Maniac Cop. So, Maniac Cop explodes. There's a hilarious bit where Robert Davi lights a cigarette off of Maniac Cop's fucking blown up arm, which is pretty great.
Good for you.
And they walk off. This is great. There's, you know, it's LA, but it's supposed to be New York, and they're in some shitty warehouse neighborhood, and him and the nurse just walk off into the nighttime together, and that's, you know, supposedly the end of the movie. We'll get to the twist in a second, but there is one line during this chase scene that just pulls everything together. Like, so this nurse, or she's not a nurse, excuse me, the doctor, Dr. Fowler there, she's like totally terrified about what's going on right now. She can't believe that a man on fire is chasing them. And because at no point has she been initiated to the Maniac Cop lore whatsoever, because Robert Davi only found out 5 minutes ago that Maniac Cop's even in the same movie as him. He just thinks he's in some police corruption movie, but he's actually in Maniac Cop 3 Badge of Silence. He has no fucking idea. They're driving in this car, and this woman just yells out, "I hate this." How perfect is that? I just paused it and I was like, "Me too, Dr. Fowler. Me too. Let's finish this movie." So we cut to the morgue. You know, our heroes have walked off into the sunset, never to be seen again. And they wheel in Maniac Kate's charred corpse. Or no, Maniac Cop's charred corpse next to Maniac Kate, who's already there.
Yeah.
And this, like, mortician or whatever, you know, this morgue attendant sits down and he's like watching TV or he's on the computer
or something.
Looking
through his divorce paperwork.
Fucking bitch wants everything. And we zoom in on the corpse hand, and there's Maniac Cop's gloved hand comes out and holds this charred body, and we just cut, and that's credits.
Daw.
What the fuck are you doing? Are you kidding me? Come on, Maniac Cop
3. Well, there's room for a sequel.
It's a hot romance.
I'm shocked this, and that's the movie, by the way. I'm shocked there hasn't been a reboot of any kind to this movie.
Honestly, I think it would be a good idea.
Yeah,
because
you could
I feel like
this.
This is a franchise with a little more life in it yet.
Yeah, it's not completely, you know, run out of gas. Why aren't you remaking this one, Michael Bay?
If we can have 22 Friday the 13th movies.
Exactly. And it's something that's like, I mean, I'm sure there's big fans of this franchise out here because there's fans of everything everywhere. But like,
it's true.
This franchise isn't as precious as something like a Friday the 13th or a Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, there's improvements to be made.
There's improvements to be made in all those movies, but I'm just saying, like, if you were to reboot Maniac Cop and, like, you know, explain to me why Maniac Cop has these psychic powers or whatever, I wouldn't be like, how dare, you know, like in that Friday the 13th remake, it's like, oh, we're going to show you how Jason gets around the forest so fast. That is the dumbest. His tunnel town underneath Crystal Lake.
You know,
just stop it.
That's one of the great things about, like, these 80s slashers and stuff, is there's a lot of, and for some reason, like, and then he comes back from the dead for some reason. And you know what? That's fine. Leave it. A little ambiguity is never killed anyone.
No, it didn't. Except maybe, you know, Maniac Cop.
Yeah.
He wasn't killed by ambiguity. He was killed because of his values.
Twas beauty killed the beast.
And a huge
the
explosion.
The beauty of Maniac Kate.
Then I'd love it if Maniac Cop fell off the Empire State Building at the end of this movie. He got shot down by a bunch of Red Baron fighter planes. It'd be great. Would anybody recommend this movie?
I would, actually. I mean, it moves along at a clip. It's pretty damn crazy. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed myself. It's certainly not a strong recommend, but it's a recommend.
There have been way worse movies than this, but it's still not that good. And like, the fact that the Maniac Cop 1 and Maniac Cop 2 are just sitting right there, like, those are the ones you need to see.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you need to see more after that, do 3. But otherwise, I wouldn't go into it without seeing the other ones.
Yeah, totally. It's a light recommend for me. It's a totally ridiculous movie. It's a completely ridiculous movie. But no, I am okay with those first two movies, actually. I think the first one's pretty cool. Then the second one's a fine sequel. First one's got old what's-his-name, Drunky McWhiskey Face from Halloween 3.
No.
Tom Atkins.
Oh, yeah.
Is in that first Maniac
Cop.
He's
all over that movie.
He is. It's pretty great. But yeah, I mean, this one is like, if you really like the first two and you haven't quite had your belly filled with Maniac Cop movies, check out part 3, I guess. I don't know. There's no real reason to watch this movie because it is Maniac Cop without Maniac Cop. If you're watching these Maniac Cop movies because you love Maniac Cop movies, you're going to be kind of disappointed with this. If you're watching this movie because you're a William Lustig completist, that's fine. And that's something I wanted to point out really quickly. This dude has an impressive directorial filmography. I'll just close the app on the iPad here. All right, so just real quick, this dude's a solid director. Check out Maniac from 1980, the original. Vigilante from 83. Then Maniac Cop. Hit List is kind of a good movie. Maniac Cop 2, this. He also directed that hilarious Uncle Sam, which I keep meaning to check out.
Oh, yeah, I've been dying to see that. Dying to see that. By the way, Vigilante's got a lot of great on-location New York
yeah, it's all
stuff. Like, there's like Greenpoint, Brooklyn in the dirty 80s. Yeah. And
it looks great.
So yeah. Does, I think, the first Maniac, the actual Maniac, yeah. Is also on location.
Yeah, it is.
New York. And, you know, as I mentioned on Chudmentary, I'm a sucker for that.
Well, also, in that movie, man, do you get to see how grody the subways used to be. Like, now, thank the Lord for every subway I see. If a homeless man takes a shit on the subway platform, like, at least it's not what Maniac looked like.
On that note, if you want to get a hold of us, check out the website. We're at whmpodcast.com. Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast, right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. If you subscribe in iTunes, rate and review the show there if you could. We got a hilarious 1-star review the other day. I couldn't stop laughing at it. It was really great.
I loved it.
Someone was offended by potty mouths.
I give that 1-star review 5 stars.
Rate and review, it helps increase the profile of the show in the iTunes store. You can also catch us on Stitcher Radio, download the Stitcher app, stream the show on the go, and any other participating podcast you might listen to. Blame It on Outer Space, Eric's Conspiracy Theory Takedown show, the first Wednesday of every month. A new episode making fun of conspiracies or paranormal tales.
Sometimes the undead.
Sometimes the undead. Man, imagine there was a Maniac Cop, like, conspiracy theory. It'd be pretty great.
We'll have to find one.
Blame It on outerspace.com, at Blame Space Pod on Twitter. They are also in iTunes, Stitcher, and a Facebook page as well. Chris's movie reviews for Slant Magazine, slant.com. And one last time, big thanks to our friends in Hurrah Bolt of Light. We've been plugging their band this whole request month. They wrote the theme song that you're going to hear from now till whenever the show just bites it.
So, about a month.
Give another month or so. Get our use out of that theme song. No, they're a great band from New York City. Check out hurrahboltoflight.com. They have a record out you can buy on iTunes. It's called Hello. It's good stuff. Thanks again to them for writing us a theme song. That's it. Another listener request month in the bag. Tune in next week. Is it next week we start summer blockbusters?
I think it is.
It's just one gimmicky month into the other one. That's how we roll around here. No, a lot of big titles coming up. Should be pretty fun. And yeah, stay tuned for Godzilla. That's somewhere in there. I spoiled that one. I spoiled one.
Well, you know what? You've earned it.
Yeah, you know, we never tell people stuff. But you know what? Fuck it. Godzilla's coming up. How about
spoilers.
That, everybody? So until next week, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gabin.
Take it easy.